Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Gumption. I'm your host, Lil, and this is episode 35. No guest or fancy intro this time. It's just gonna be me, your girl, and we're just gonna be chilling, because that's kind of my vibe today. I am recording this on Father's Day, and it is truly a gorgeous day here today. It's like 85 degrees and sunny with a nice breeze, and it's supposed to be hot here all week. Like, unbelievably hot. I think it actually says excessive heat warning on my phone. But regardless, I am happy because I've been spending a ton of time outside, and those who know me know that's my preferred mode in the summertime. And I don't know why, but going into the summer, I was really nervous that I wasn't gonna get to spend a lot of time outside. Like, even though I was working full-time since summer of 2022, I feel like for some reason the last two summers I had more free time to just kind of enjoy the summer. And now that work is picking up at my new job, I'm very thankful for that. I was just so nervous that like there was going to be no opportunity for me to get out there and tan or like just do summer activities, water sports, that kind of stuff. So it's been a pleasant surprise so far, but not completely accidental. I've been trying really hard to make that happen. And that's one of the things I'm going to talk about today, which is 75 hard and how that has contributed to my enjoyment of summer, which, can we believe it's already mid-June? Well, I guess it's past mid-June because it's the 16th right now, but like, what the heck? I feel like it was just May a week ago, and now we're already almost to July, which, guys, by the way, means we are almost through with season two. Not that there's a particular timestamp on that, but I really loved what I did with the first season of the show, where I did 20 episodes, not including the bonuses, and wrapped it up around August at our one-year anniversary to take a little break and come up with more ideas and then come back for the next season. And that is exactly what I'm going to do once we hit 40 episodes, aka the end of season two. I just love a short little refresh to meet more people whose stories I want shared on the podcast, to redesign some new cool merch for you guys because we were all as obsessed as I was with the first round, and I'm so happy about that, and to live life so that I have more stories of my own to share. So with that, there are 5 more episodes left in the season, and I'm just gonna get right into it, play our theme song, and we'll talk about 75 Hard. Okay, you guys, first and foremost, what is 75 hard? I probably should have looked this up before I started doing it myself, although I generally knew what it was. I actually never knew where it originated from until just now when I was seeking out this information. Thanks, Google. So apparently, the challenge was created by CEO Andy Frazella in 2019. Now, I'm not even going to look up where he's the CEO because, frankly, I don't care. But one look at this man's website and I can tell you that he definitely has a podcast of some sort. Like, this is the most mansplaining website I've quite literally ever seen. And I'm still scrolling. Like, I'm scrolling as I'm looking at this. I'm still scrolling, you guys. His whole life story is on here. Lots of typos and things in italics. It sounds like I'm discrediting the challenge by starting off with this, but I really wanted to understand where it came from because, frankly, it is a little bit of a crazy concept. So, according to an article from today.com, this challenge is not a diet program or a fitness program. It is a mental toughness program, which is what Frazella said when he created it. It's kind of like an Iron Man for the brain, in his words. And that checks, because most of all, I do think it is a challenge of whether or not you can complete the challenge. Not as much like, can you do the actual things the challenge requires? So I'm about to read you the original challenge rules. And then I'll give a disclaimer, which is that we are not following this challenge exactly. First rule, if you skip a day, you must start over. I will spare you from the lengthy explanations on his website and just read you the bare bones here. Number 2, pick a diet you want to follow, no alcohol or cheat meals. Drink a gallon of water daily, complete 2 daily workouts, they're supposed to be 45 minutes each, one outside, one inside. Read 10 pages a day of a nonfiction self-development book. And finally, take a progress photo every day. Okay, now I'm going to read you what I am doing specifically, which I'm calling 75 soft, because like at its core, it is kind of the same idea as 75 hard, but I knew that I was not going to be able to commit to that considering I've never done a workout challenge before ever. So I was like, to ease myself in, I'm going to do a softer version of this challenge. And Murphy and I are doing it together. We both picked slightly different things for ourselves based on the personal goals that each of us had, but fundamentally we did pick several similar things. So the Lil and Murph version of 75 hard is daily workout, no length or location specified. It can be any kind of workout. And for that one, we're kind of using the honor system. Like if I lifted a lot of boxes and went up and down 25 flights of stairs during the workday, I can count that as my workout if I want to, even though I didn't set aside time to do that as an intentional separate workout. But it really is like if you feel that you did a workout or if you plan to and execute a workout, it counts. We are doing drink a gallon of water daily. Eat healthy. For us, this was big on like less takeout because we just wanted to be easy and convenient and not cook for ourselves. Less wasting food and less just like snacking all the time, because that's definitely something that I succumb to a lot. So kind of just like being more intentional with meals and trying to cook more. Then we have prioritizing sleep. I am now realizing this one is a total Mandela effect, because we thought that in the actual 75 hard challenge, you were supposed to get at least 8 hours of sleep. Now that I've read it, I realized that was not even part of it at all. But I think it was a good addition to our version of it. For me, this kind of looks like even if I can't go to bed on the earlier side or sleep in the morning, just resting a little bit more than I might normally and listening to my body, like if I'm feeling really tired, to just take it more chill rather than to be running around and doing chores or something like that. And then because I'm me and I'm completely extra, I added a few things that were just for me. One of which is no picking my skin. This is like my worst habit ever, and it's very hard for me to avoid doing. So I thought maybe if I add it to the challenge, add it to my checklist that I'm using, it'll give me more incentive to not do it. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. The other one was only spend what's necessary, which I kind of learned from a no spending challenge that I did back in January or February with former Gumption guest Taylor Sminchak of Blossom Financial Coaching. I did it on my own just to try to spend less money, and it was really cool to participate in that as a challenge specifically. So I added it to this as well to just continue to be conscious about not buying random shit I don't need. I define necessary as like obviously gas, groceries, bills, anything to take care of Monty or myself, medical stuff, all of that. And sometimes even dining out, like if my schedule doesn't allow for me to cook that day or to go grocery shopping that day, then I think going out and getting a coffee or going out and getting lunch is totally a necessary expense. What I'm trying to cut out on is if I'm on Instagram and something gets advertised to me, like a product that I want to try or a new brand that's really cool or clothing, that's a huge one. I have so many clothes already. There is no need for me to be buying new clothes unless it's for a specific occasion. And even then, I probably already have something. So just trying to cut down on those like random impulse buys that we all do because we're being advertised to 24/7. And then the last part of our 75 hard challenge is 10 pages a day. But we did not limit ourselves to a self-development nonfiction book. Personally, that is a genre I don't read. Like, that sounds bad, but I don't need to develop myself by reading some dude talking about, like, ice plunging or something. For me, I get a lot more inspired and renewed by reading literally everything else, like fiction, different genres, just good writing. So there you have it. As a recap, these are the things that I am doing for 75 soft / medium, which is what we're calling it. Work out once a day, drink a gallon of water, read 10 pages a day, prioritize sleep, eat healthy, try not to pick your skin, and only spend what's necessary. You might be thinking, Lily, isn't one of the huge points of the challenge to cut out drinking alcohol? And to that, I would say, yes, It is. However, it is actually part of my job now to drink alcohol, as in tasting stuff, which I do quite frequently, and being able to describe the stuff that I'm tasting to people on social media. So I personally did not choose to include this in my challenge. Murphy is doing like only drinking on social occasions, which I think is a smart modification of that because it's not going completely cutting it out, but it's also being more intentional with it. So we didn't really follow that particular strict aspect of the challenge. And that's because of, I think, the timing that we're doing it. It's a time where we like to go out to dinner a lot and meet up with friends and go to bars. And that's not really something we were willing to give up at this moment. But we also didn't feel like alcohol was a huge hindrance to us getting more fit or feeling better because we're pretty chill with it already. Now for the real reason we're all here, to save you guys the time of trying 75 hard if it is in fact not your speed. So as someone who is 7 weeks into the challenge, 4 whole weeks left to go, I am going to share all my thoughts, tell you what I think is worth it, and what I think is not. This should go without saying, but this is all my opinion based on my experience of doing the challenge, so don't be offended if you had a completely different experience and you were absolutely loving every second. Just keep doing your thing and do what works for you. I think the way I said that made it sound like I was gonna totally shit on the challenge, which I'm not gonna do. Not all parts of it anyway. Okay, my first observation of doing this, we're gonna start with the reading portion. So I get that in the original challenge, the idea is to read self-development books and become more self-aware, like know more about yourself, learn more about healthy coping mechanisms, all those things. I am a huge reader, but I don't read a lot of nonfiction, as I mentioned. I am a fiction girly. I love a memoir. I love poetry. Like, I truly read every other genre. So my goal going into this was more reading. A lot of the times before I started doing this, I would sit down and read in like huge chunks. Like I'd read 40, 50 to 100 pages at once. And that's kind of how I would have my rhythm to get through my books. But of course, that would only be when I had an extended period of time to do that. And unlike some people who have been gifted with the ability to read in the car or read like in a moving receptacle of some kind, I don't exactly get motion sickness, but I can't read in the car. I can kind of read on planes. Like, I just usually have to be sitting down reading a physical book or else I get a headache. So that being said, reading in these big chunks always made me feel like I wasn't reading as much as I could be because I was only doing it when I had the time and I wasn't actively carving out the time, if you know what I'm saying. So 75 hard has been a huge help to that because every day I'm like, I have to sit down and at least read 10 pages. It has also significantly helped with my amount of scrolling, which I definitely still do a lot of, but knowing that, like, okay, at the end of the day, I want to check off my little list of all the things I did today, and I want one of them to be reading 10 pages, it's such a low commitment number, which I love, because 10 pages can take me, like, 5 minutes or less sometimes. Sometimes I can really just let it be slow and have it take like 10 or 15 minutes depending what kind of book I'm reading. But regardless, it is a low time commitment and generally very doable to squeeze that in every day. I've found myself doing it in my downtime before I leave for work in the morning, even getting ready faster and getting myself together rather than like dawdling around so that I can spend my last 15 minutes before I leave the house reading, which is lovely. And if you think about it, 75 hard, 75 days, 10 pages a day, that's 750 pages. And that's only if you're doing the bare minimum, which is reading 10 pages per day. I've been doing an interesting thing with this particular task on my list because there are some days where I still don't have time to read, but instead of checking that off as a loss for the day, with this particular item, I've been allowing myself to do like catch-up reading. So hypothetically, if I were to skip 4 days of reading, which I don't think I've done because I'm really into the book that I'm reading right now, I could read 40 pages in addition to the 10 pages for the day that I'm actually doing that reading and check those off retrospectively, which I know, again, is not what you're supposed to do because, as the guy said, you're supposed to start over. If you miss anything, that's just too intense for me. Like, there is no shot that if I'm missing one of these things, I'm starting the 75-day challenge over. I would be doing this for the rest of my life, literally. So that being said, if you're looking to do a 75 hard variation or modification, I think this is a great example of a way to do that. If there's something that you feel you can do retrospectively and give yourself credit for, even if you don't do it day of, then I think that is a good way to give yourself a little bonus flexibility. Now, something I wouldn't do that with is the workout portion, the drinking water portion, and the prioritizing sleep. Those are the ones that I view on a 24-hour basis. It's like, okay, if I didn't work out today, I'm not checking it off. I didn't work out. If I stayed up really late and didn't catch up on sleep within the next day following that, like by going to bed extra early or sleeping in if I'm able, then I can't check off prioritizing sleep. And with the water thing too, it's like kind of hard to measure it if you're trying to do it within multiple days. So that's one that if I don't hit my 128 ounces, it's not getting checked off. This actually leads me very nicely into my next point. I think the water drinking has been huge for me because I'm not great about hydrating. And overall, I definitely feel a lot better just drinking more water. That's like, duh. I'm not going to explain that more because I think everyone understands that. I can't say for sure if it's really been helping my skin because, as you heard me say earlier, I do pick my skin a lot. And even actively trying not to do so, I still do here and there. And I don't know, that can kind of set it back, even if it's been looking nice and plump and good with all the water drinking I've been doing. So the jury's still out on that one. But it's kind of silly that the water drinking has to even be included in the challenge, because once you start doing some of these other things and working out more, it just kind of comes with the territory. It's like my body craves more water and I want to be drinking more water than usual if I was just laying around and not really thinking about it. So it's nice to have that as an accountability piece. Like, I want to check it off and I'm consciously thinking, okay, I drank, you know, this many glasses of water, or I refilled my water bottle this many times. I don't let the day get away from me without drinking water. But I also feel like ever since I started doing this challenge, even once it's over, I'm going to continue doing the water piece, which I highly recommend. Although my only note on this is listening to your body, because there are some times where it's like a couple hours before I'm going to go to bed, I've almost hit my goal, but I still need to catch up on a few glasses of water. But I feel like I'm not thirsty at all. Like, I've drank enough for what I've eaten that day. And a few days I still have forced it just to get to the 128 ounces. But my mom always tells me this, sometimes hydrating, it needs to involve like electrolytes or something. You can't always just drink water and expect it to do 100% of the hydrating, because sometimes there's not the right things in your body to absorb it at that time based on what you've eaten. So there are definitely days where I notice that, and sometimes I'll add a teeny tiny splash of apple cider vinegar into my water. You can't really taste it, but it does help to let your body absorb the hydration a little bit more. Don't ask me the science behind it because I really don't know. But that is one thing that's been helping when I feel like I'm not really thirsty, or I'm drinking water and it's not like really registering, if that makes sense. Okay. Workouts. I think this is the big one that a lot of people associate with 75 hard, because at its core, it is you are working out every day for 75 days straight, which I think most people don't do on average, if I had to guess. Maybe I'm in the minority there. Maybe people do work out more than I do. But for example, I don't have a gym membership. I don't like going to the gym. So I am not the type of person who would be in the gym every day. I totally respect people who do that because, first of all, you're getting your money's worth. Like, if you're paying for a gym membership and you're in there every day, good for you. Like, that's what you should be doing. I can't justify paying for it because I know that I won't be able to make time for it every day. And that was one thing I was nervous about going into the challenge was, oh, if I can't make time to go to a workout class or go to the gym, then how am I going to make time to work out every day? Ding, ding, ding. I feel like this is the biggest awakening for me, and it's going to sound so silly coming out of my mouth, but it really is true. And it was a hard truth that I had to learn. Workouts can be so easy, and they can be in your house, and they don't have to cost anything, and they don't have to take more than 20, even 15 minutes sometimes. Thank God we live in the generation of YouTube, because you can seriously go online and look up any kind of workout, a HIIT workout, arms, booty, back, legs, like whatever part of your body you want to work on and tone. Just search like 15 minute whatever and you instantly have a million options available at your fingertips. This is definitely my go-to when the weather is shitty, because although I love to work out outside, that is a huge detractor for me normally prior to doing this challenge, and would just cause me to not do anything at all. If I was like planning it and then it was gross outside, I would just be like, oh, okay, I guess I'm not going to work out. And that could go for weeks on end. In the winter, you can imagine how that goes. I would just go for months and not really want to do anything because I couldn't really do stuff outside. Even once it did start to warm up, my seasonal allergies were killing me, and you could probably still hear it in my voice because I'm very stuffy. But that was like a little bit of a balance to find, because I wanted to be outside in the sun and the warmth, but I also didn't want to sneeze 50 million times when I came in the door after a 1 mile run. So I had to find a little bit of a happy medium. Love doing YouTube Pilates abs and arm workouts. I will recommend some of my faves to you guys. And it's so easy to just knock that out rather than sitting there on your phone or watching a show. Or in some cases I've done it, you can even watch your show while you're doing it. And that is like the best of both worlds. Now, as someone who has not done 75 hard properly, as in I'm not doing 2 45-minute workouts every single day, I can't speak to this from experience, but just from thinking about that, I feel like it would be really hard to do 2 workouts a day with the kind of workouts that I want to do. I'm doing a lot of cardio, a lot of like fast-paced stuff, or kind of intense short workouts. And so it's probably equivalent to what someone would do in like a 45-minute workout, but just condensed into a shorter time. But I don't know. I just think that since I started doing this, I've had to stretch a lot more, and thinking about doing 2 workouts a day, and then that means 2 to 4 stretches per day, because like 1 before, 1 after really is what you're supposed to do. I don't do that every time. That would be really difficult. So I know people who have done 75 hard proper and they have succeeded in doing 2 workouts per day. I even know someone who did it in the winter time and she was at the gym a lot, and that just impresses me beyond belief because I'm not built for that. Shout out to Krista, because you are the one who inspired me to do this challenge in the first place, and you've done it so many times now. You're killing it, and your dedication really shows. But overall, I'm really proud of myself, because I think just committing to the once a day workout, even if it's not something crazy intense, like going on a 2 mile walk, if the destination is like a place we're going out to dinner or somewhere we want to go to this park, that still counts because it's something we wouldn't have been intentional in deciding to do, something we wouldn't have carved out time for. And the challenge really gives you like a good motivation and incentive to plan it. I have a whiteboard in my office that is a weekly calendar, and I love it because I can just erase it once the week is over. It's done, it's in the past, and update it with my new week schedule. And what I've actually been doing is writing workout on there every single day. Even though that seems a little silly, it's been super helpful because when I'm looking at the breakdown of my day, say I have an appointment in the morning before work, or I'm getting dinner with a friend after work, it's just a good visual of like, oh, okay, I'm going out to dinner, I'm probably going to be full and tired, and I'm not really going to want to work out after that. I need to work out in the morning on Tuesday. Or like, oh, I got to get up early and go in early on this day, and it's kind of going to be a busy day, so I'm going to chill when I get home for a few hours and then do a workout at 8:30 p.m. and just do it upstairs in the attic. Like, it's helpful to actually carve out the time. And then if you don't do it at that exact time, it's not the end of the world, but it gives you an idea rather than trying to rush around and then the workout falls to the wayside because you didn't plan it well enough. I don't think everyone probably requires this level of planning, and I don't stick to it 100% of the time, but it does help me to just make smarter decisions with my time and prioritize things. And I've noticed that since I started doing this challenge, I usually save going on social media or scrolling on my phone until the last part of my day, like the evening when I'm just chilling out before bed. And sometimes I don't even get to it because I will opt to read or watch a show or do my workout later in the night. And then I'm tired and I'm like, well, I'm just going to go to bed, which has really decreased my screen time and ended up being quite a lovely thing. And since dance was my primary form of working out for a really long time, I had to rediscover what kinds of movement and activity felt good for me. And that has been quite a journey. I know I've talked about that on Gumption, like, I think around episode 15 or 16, when I was starting to explore my new city a little bit more and try different businesses and classes. Like, I tried a cycling studio, loved it. I tried rock climbing, and that was kind of me branching out into different forms of fitness. I wish I could say that I've tried even more unique things since then, but I've sort of found what works and stuck with that. But there's still some things on my radar, like I would love to go to a boxing class or a kickboxing class. I want to try a bungee class, although I don't know if there's any around here in this area. Anyway, besides the point, my go-to easy workouts that I've been doing throughout the 75 Hard Challenge are running a mile. Not caring about how long it takes me, but I've been challenging myself not to walk at all. I am not a huge runner. I do like to use it as kind of an outlet. It helps me like burn off like nervous energy when I have it, but I'm not someone who's ever trained as a runner, so I don't usually do long distances, and I kind of will like sprint a mile basically. So it's kind of nice. It's like a fast-paced quick workout. It usually takes under 15 minutes unless there's some kind of weird obstacle in your way that makes it take longer, and it is always a good workout. I always come back red as a tomato, sweaty, feeling good, and then I stretch it out and there we go, I've done my workout. Long walks though, I will say, have been my drug of choice recently, as Murphy and I love to walk around our city and look at people's houses and judge them. No, actually, yes, that's exactly what we do. But also walking to a restaurant that we want to go to that's a few miles away instead of driving there, like that's just an easy way to kind of incorporate it into your day of something that you were already doing. And honestly, I find myself more tired after a long walk sometimes than a run, because it does involve like a longer term stamina, and we usually keep a pretty fast pace. So I really love the way I feel when I've gone on a long walk. It just feels like my whole body got a nice workout. Also, highly recommend doing this first thing in the morning. Like, waking up early enough that you can just throw on some clothes, even if you're still half asleep, and go on a nice 20 to 30 minute walk if it's nice outside, even just to go get coffee or whatever. That has been a game changer, because on the days where we've done that, first of all, I've never regretted going on a walk. Like, there's never been a walk that we're like, oh, we wish we didn't do that, you know? But starting it before work in the morning just puts the whole day in the right mindset. You know, you've done something, you've accomplished one thing. I know people say this about making their bed. Like, if you make your bed in the morning, you know you've accomplished that one thing. But that feels pretty low stakes to me. So going on a walk is like, it's great. I got outside, I got some fresh air, I was able to listen to the ambient sounds, clear my mind, chat if you're going on a walk with someone else, and get your body moving early in the day. Especially if you have a desk job like me. I've been sitting at a desk a lot more recently than I was in the past, and I love that I have a workstation, but it definitely is a different flow of energy throughout the day when you're sitting in the same place. So getting that walk in early can sometimes just set the tone right, and then you can even choose to do another workout later in the day if you want, but if not, you're already done. If you're doing it our way. Of course, if you're doing regular 75 hard, then joke's on you. You got to do another 45 minute workout that day. Okay, guys, what else is there? The no picking your skin. I'm not going to go too deep into this one because I know this is not a problem for everyone as much as it is for me. But I feel like everybody can relate in some fashion because we all have that one bad habit that's really hard to stop doing. Whether it's picking at your nails or cuticles, or like biting your nails, wringing out your hair with your hands, picking at your skin. There's just all kind of like a nervous tick that we all have. And I've had this for years. It's been such a like problem for me because I don't have acne-prone skin. Like, my skin would probably look perfect if I never touched it, but I always just want to pick it. And when I walk past a mirror, especially if I look at myself in the mirror for more than 2 seconds, the urge to pop even just like a pore on my face, it doesn't even have to be a zit. The urge to pick or pop it is like almost completely impossible to overcome for me. So I'm working on it. I've seen those things where it's like a pumice stone that people fill with silicone and you pick it out in lieu of picking your skin. And maybe I'm in denial, but I don't want to get to that point where I have to order one of those because that just feels sad to me. Although it would probably help. But anyway, I have mixed feelings about adding this to the challenge. I'll start with the negative. I think it is kind of not the point of the challenge. Like, the point is to be thinking about what you're eating, drinking, how you're sleeping, how your body's moving. It's not necessarily in the same vein of self-development and activities that the rest of the items are. So it feels a little bit more lower stakes, which for me has actually impacted it a lot more negatively. Because of that, I feel like I've been able to justify doing it more, which kind of defeats the purpose of me adding it to the challenge itself. But on the other side of that coin, it kind of goes with the mental toughness that this is supposedly about. It's like, okay, mind over matter, I can tell myself I'm not going to do this, and I can trust myself to not do it. And I think that is ultimately why I added it, to see if I could do it. And so far, it's going okay, guys. So out of the 7 weeks that we have done the challenge, I have about, let's see, it looks like 2 days per week I've left in red, which means I've picked my skin. Realistically, it's probably been more than that, but I've also been doing this sort of like the reading where if I do pick my skin, but then a couple hours later or later that day, I do like a full in-depth skincare routine and I take really good care of my skin. I do like a mask or something. I do gua sha. Then, in my opinion, it cancels out because I don't do that every day. I just do my basic cleanse, moisturize, sunscreen, whatever. But when I do spend the extra time to do like an ice soak of my face or to try to clear out my lymphatic system by using gua sha tools, like, that is an extra positive thing, so it cancels out the negative thing, or at least that's what I've been telling myself, guys. I don't know if I'm DeLulu, but that's kind of how I've been looking at it. So, all said and done, about 2 days per week is not that bad. There was 1 week where I didn't pick my skin at all. Slay. But haven't since then been able to accomplish quite the same level of sanity. For me, it's like a stress thing too, and I don't even think I've been that stressed, but it's just the first thing that I do when I feel a moment of stress. I'm like, oh, I'll just go pick my skin and then I'll feel better. But I always feel worse after, so maybe that should teach me something. When will I learn? Regardless, if you're thinking about trying 75 hard and you're doing modifications to it already, you have a bad habit that you're trying to break, it might not be the worst idea to add it to your docket. And if it doesn't work out, like, you end up still doing it a lot, then, you know, it is what it is. But if it does help to have the accountability of tracking it, then it can only be a good thing, right? One thing I've noticed with that accountability piece is, and not just with the skin picking, but with other things too, I feel like lightly guilty if I don't do something, or, you know, if it's something like don't pick your skin, if I do it, then I feel just a little twinge of guilt, like, oh, I am supposed to be committing to this challenge, I'm supposed to be doing or not doing this thing, so I need to be more serious about it. And for me, that is a bit of a motivator because I'm able to like refocus and be more aware of myself. I think it is a slippery slope though, because it's like, if you let yourself get too guilty, then you have to remember it's just a challenge. You're not being graded or tested by anyone but yourself. And that mental toughness thing is just to try to build the fortitude within yourself, and no one's going to judge you if you don't hit every mark every single day. At the end of the day, the point of it is like to become a better version of yourself, and whatever insecurities or negative habits that you have that you want to get rid of or try to tone down, and then positive habits that you want to build into your daily life and hopefully continue doing after the challenge and making and carving out time for. Like, that's the whole point. So I'm trying to make sure I weigh that when I do feel guilty of like, oh, I didn't make time to do this today, or today I felt like I just needed to lay down and scroll on my phone for 6 hours. Yeah, it's not the greatest thing, but every now and then you do have to listen to your body and just do what you have the energy for. And my last note is for eating healthy. I would say this has actually been one of the easiest parts of the challenge. And that surprises me because I didn't think it was going to be so easy to cook more, to come up with recipes or find things or time it with the grocery shopping. Like, I just went into it thinking this was going to be really challenging, and it's actually been kind of a breeze. I'm very thankful that I'm not doing it by myself, because Murphy and I really have a groove with that of like scheduling when we're going to go grocery shopping, planning out recipes. It's been so much easier to do it with someone else, and I don't know how good I'd be if I was doing it by myself. But I will say, I think lunches have been the most difficult part, because I really just want to bring a ramen to work sometimes. Like, I don't want to make myself a healthy salad with proteins and the right portions and all that. But it goes hand in hand with the other stuff. Like, when I'm more active, I'm more hungry, I crave healthier things. I don't feel good when I eat fast food. As literally as soon as I'm done recording this, we're going to go get Taco Bell. But that's another story. But generally speaking, in regard to like patterns and habits and that kind of stuff, it feels so much better to be drinking more water, being more active, eating healthy. And I'm so happy that we are thriving in this regard, because I didn't expect it to be that way. One thing that has really helped me to want to cook and do recipes more is having an herb garden. I started doing my own herb garden last summer, and it did pretty well. I had my herbs from May until October, and it was just so lovely to be able to use them that much and have such a great harvest from it. This year, I started it in late April, which was a little early, but so far it's going great. And I actually got more herbs this year than I did last time, trying some ones that are a little trickier to grow because I'm becoming a crazy plant lady now. And I also got a poblano pepper plant, which is so cute. The peppers are like fully developed now, and they're getting to about the size where I'm going to want to harvest them. So I'm very excited to cook with those. But having plants that you have to care for every day as a habit and get to enjoy learning about them and knowing kind of what their needs are, it just makes it so much more gratifying when you want to roast some chicken breasts and you want to throw some spices and herbs in it, and those herbs are something that you grew yourself. I know not everyone probably has the space to do this kind of thing, but I would definitely encourage you to start with like one plant of an herb that you really like, whether it's basil or dill if you're really into pickling things, or like tarragon if you love cooking chicken. There's just so many good options out there, and I think that has given me a lot of motivation to want to cook and find recipes that go well with the flavors I'm growing in my little garden. And also, guys, I live on the second floor. We have an uncovered porch on our house, and that's where I have my herbs. Like, I don't have any kind of fancy setup. They're on a little shelf. They're in the direct sunlight all the time. I don't have any kind of crazy composting situation or special soil. Like, I just did it kind of bare bones, basic, and it's worked perfectly great. So you don't have to have a ton of space. You don't have to plant them in the ground. I haven't been successful at growing them indoors, so I can't really speak to that. But if you have a little tiny space outdoors that you can do it, I highly recommend giving it a try. And with that, you guys, I think that is all I have to say about 75 soft, medium, hard, whatever you want to call it. I will let you be the judge of whether it is something you want to do right now. But one thing that is a really smart idea, I'm going to give myself a pat on the back for this one, is if you have a vacation coming up and you have enough time to plan it in advance, plan your 75 days so that the last day is the day you leave for vacation. That is what we did. Our vacation is coming up here in mid-July, and I could not be more excited. But it's also like going to be such a gratifying feeling to relax and take care of myself and enjoy and not have anything weighing over me. and then to continue on doing the habits that I've fostered during the challenge that I really like. And I think that timing is key, because it's like I'm looking forward to something, and it's not just, oh, when is this going to end, but rather actually celebrating what we spent the last 75 days trying to do. So just some food for thought, just a little idea if you're not sure when the timing is right to do something like this. In this episode description, I'm going to link some of my favorite YouTubers for workouts and even specific workouts themselves if you just want to do a workout, because I've found some good ones throughout the process of this, and also any apps or creators on social media who have helped me find motivation or find different at-home workouts to do, different ideas of recipes to try, like just all the things that I've been pulling from, I'm gonna link in here for you guys. And then even if you're not interested in doing 75 hard, you can check them out and try out some of the recipes or workouts for yourself. Similarly, I'll also drop the books I've been reading, because I'm through 2 books so far during the challenge and only going up from here. But both that I've read, though very different, are really good. One was like a mystery thriller. The one I just finished is kind of like a rom-com situation, just cute, silly, fun, and could be good summer reading recs. So I'll drop those anyway as well. And as always, thank you guys for listening. Thank you for listening to my reflections. This has been really fun to do, and I'm hoping that some of these habits stick. I'm going to make them stick, because I just love to try to be the best version of myself, and that's what we do here at Gumption. So hopefully this will give you the gumption to try a new positive habit, whether you do it through 75 hard or not. Keep following us on Instagram at Gumption Pod for all the latest updates whenever I get my act together and start posting more. But regardless, that is always the most up-to-date place for information about the show. Tell your friends to listen, send this to a friend. If you've done 75 hard, want to do 75 hard, or you know someone who's done 75 hard, I would love to hear your thoughts and opinions and what your experience was. Hope you guys enjoyed our 35th episode. Love you guys. Bye.